Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Good things are coming to those who are ready for them. To those who are prepared and are ready, and are ready to pursue. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you see we are, it's really back to the basics, eh? For so many of us this year, on how to tap into what God has in store for us. Remember, we are the sheep of his pasture, it says in Psalms 100. Now, how to get a hold of that pasture. Now, we are just going through just simple things that anybody, everybody, just ought to do in order to ensure that they're part of that pasture, praise the Lord, which the Lord has prepared for us. And the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy, I believe, chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." He says he is persuaded that what he committed to the Lord will keep until that day. Now, what did he commit to the Lord that God is supposed to keep? You know, one thing I used to wonder all along is how some people, especially, of course, my line was the line of ministry, but it can be any other line. It can be anything that you are involved in. Manage to stay on the cutting edge throughout their life, and they die on top. They never at any stage wane. You never look and say that this man has waned, now he's going down. And I can tell you there have been very, very few who are like that. They are not that many, that I can assure you. Even people who started out very big, at some stage you see it's not the way it used to be. Praise the Lord. For instance, if you've watched TV, Christian TV, there are people whom you'd look at and say, man, this guy was once something else. And you might think you've grown, and maybe you have. But then also they are not on the cutting edge like they used to be. And something somewhere along the way just went. And you can tell, even when you've grown, you can outgrow somebody and look at them and still know that this person is ministering by the Spirit of God to a certain caliber of people. I may not be among them right now, but there are people actually who this person is ministering to. And I know some who are like that. But then you see some others who you look and say something went terribly wrong. And of course, I would go and ask myself, why? What is it that some people have, just those few people, that from beginning to end, there is not a single day when you say that anything went. The person will be on the cutting edge, like Kenneth again, until he dies on the cutting edge. And he seems to be going higher and higher and higher and higher, then he dies. And then that's also true for other endeavors in life, not just ministry. There are people who, I'll give you an example. Rich businessmen who were in town here when we were growing up. I could mention names. And you used to look up to them. Wow, that man, Mugaga. But now you look at them and you see something went wrong somewhere. You know that they were going at a certain tangent and something went wrong. And you look and you know he's not the same person that they were before. And you know that somewhere along the way it broke down. But they remain Mugaga. But in reality, maybe they aren't. And if you were to slice between them, you find that actually they are in serious trouble financially. Now, of course, that is for another world. Now, even in our world, there is a formula for making sure that you never, at any one stage, seem to retrogress. And now you see you can keep up the same, but people actually look at you, the people who already look at you and say, this is not the same person. And they will not tell you that's the problem. Because if they did, maybe you'd go and try to. But you see, Paul says here that I'm persuaded that the things which I committed to him, he will keep them until that day. Now you can tell people who build a ministry or even anything purely on, that's a talent, and that's a big thing. I remember one time reading a book by Kenneth Hagin, and he said during the what was called the charismatic movement, when people were healing big tents and what powerful healings going on and so on. And then he told those people who are the at the peak of the charismatic movement, he told them that, you know what, when you're through and your ministries have come down, mine will be going up. And he told them, because you've built yours on gifts and I've built mine on the word, and the word does not shake. Gift somehow can be, you know, haven't you seen people build their ministries on gifts? Okay, let's even forget about big ones, even small ones. There was even somebody who I tried to show, somebody who was part of this ministry for a small time. He had some gift, not as big as he thought, but okay, he had something. Okay? But you know, you're somebody who was... So I tried to teach him humility. And now when you have a gift and you do not commit it to God, then it will lose its effectiveness at some stage. And now that is a problem, especially for people who are gifted. And I can tell you, there are so many of them who you look and you saw, this person was gifted, but they missed out on this small thing. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I committed to him. So I have this gift, he's the one who gave it to me, but I commit it to him. And that way it lasts until the day of the Lord. Okay? Now, committing it to him, of course, can mean committing it to his glory, or basically just committing it to him. You see, eh? Remember a time when I was, sometime I went to pray somewhere along the Nile. So I was seated there and I was praying. And it was at night. But my hotel was not far away, so don't be scared. And but I was enjoying hearing the sound of the water as I was praying. Then I just found myself saying, and I don't know where these words came from, I just found myself saying that, if you give me any throne on this earth, I will give it right back to you. And I just spoke those words. And then I came to realize that actually that's exactly how, when he gives you a throne and you retain it and you don't give it back to him, you're going to lose it. But Paul says that I committed it to you, and I'm persuaded that you're able to keep it until the day of the Lord. So there is this gift, there is this talent, there is this, you know, everything, including ministry, including business, including increase, including finance. I committed it to him, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep it until the day of the Lord. Even people who came here and gave testimonies of how they have, you know, received abundance, and they were happy. And then the next day you look at them and they don't look like abundance, because they did not commit it to what? To the Lord. And if they had, it would have been from glory to glory. And you can have one beeping of something big, and now that is just an opportunity for you to get it and, you know, commit it to him. And now when you commit it to him, actually, that remains a level that you will always be at, or greater. You know, you never go back, because you get it and commit it to him. And then you go higher and higher and higher, and you continue to commit. But of course, there is a temptation at some stage to kind of think that you have it made, and then you go back. You know, these things are very easy. You know, people think that complicated things are, every person you see there who you knew was all that and is no longer, the falling is something so small. Because we're talking, for instance, someday about people who go for the fake things, eh? And they are so drawn to fake things. And somehow something fake is going to draw their attention. And then they want, there's a place where they go. I was reading a story of a South African man. Of course, there are so many Ugandan people who have also gone there. Some place in Ghana where they go and wash people's eyes. And you start seeing things. So you come and start, you know, seeing people's things and what. But it's all fake, eh? You know. And the people who usually go there started somewhere where, you know, you let people's expectations get to you. And then people are expecting you to do certain things. Then you can't do them. And instead of going and seeking for the real thing, you go for the fake. And then there are people who love fake things. There are people who love fake things. There's somebody who told me she went to a church, some church, some famous church here in, you know, and and she heard what they were talking and said, these guys are fake. And you know what? She was in P7 VAC. P7. She went and looked and said, these guys are all fake. There's nothing real here. And she can look and see somebody that young. But then there are mature people, they are enjoying the fake. And you dare confront them with anything that is real, they will not like it. They want the fake. And you, like, you know, you have to understand that life is a series of decisions. Eh? You actually choose that you want fake. And then you attract fake. And then that's how it goes. For instance, people who choose to be insubordinate. When you choose that I'm now serving God, I am ready to subordinate to anybody whom he tells me to subordinate to, he will show you the right person to be subordinate to, and you will grow. But if you don't want, you will not find that person. Because God knows you are not ready. Amen? So you realize that your life is just a series of God leading you to this place because you were ready for it. Eh? Then God leads you to this place because you are ready for it. Then this place. Then at every one stage, he seems to be leading you. And you find that it was all by the grace. But you see, so the person told me, somebody asked me, somebody who really who prophesies, and says, but why would you go for the fake when you can actually pick the real thing? And I found that interesting. Then I told them that it actually starts small. You've heard me someday, there was a time I was here, I called somebody's name, and then people thought it was prophetic, but I knew the person's name. So I called the name and people clapped. I said, no, I knew the name. I didn't pick it up prophetically. Now, the minute I enjoy the clapping, it's fake. I've settled. It starts small like that. I have to tell you, no. I know this one is called so-and-so. So, but you see, I saw even that guy I was telling you about. He gets people whose names he knows. Are you called Roger? Roger Kaddu. Yeah. And like, it seems so small, but you've now taken like a tangent of fake. So if you've picked it up in the spirit, let it be known. If it's in the natural and you knew, don't accept people's what? It was a target, yet you knew. Now, and you know, okay, it starts from there and it goes big. Now, Paul says that he committed the things which he knew. I want you to think about it this way. Here is somebody who had standing in society, in that society, very proud of his standing. As he mentions in the book of Philippians, Hebrew of Hebrews, from the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, trained by Gamaliel. That's like almost trained like by Professor Gamaliel, the man who is, you know, who would even stand and speak in the Sanhedrin and all the Pharisees keep quiet. And says, Paul says, I was trained by that man, I was the best. But then he says, all those things which meant something to me. And you know, when you've been through that training, and you have to give it up, it's not easy. And then he says, I counted it all as rubbish for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Now that is, so he gives up, and yet God actually wants his gift. Praise the Lord. It's not that God wants somebody who doesn't have a gift. He gave it to him to use it for his glory. But he wants you to first commit it to him. But you come and you see, okay, huh? I'm a Pharisee, one of the best, trained by one of the best, you know, and you have all your credentials. They will actually run out and mean nothing to you unless you commit them to the Lord completely. Praise the Lord. That could be anything. Leadership. Orators. There are people who are orators. Eh? There are people who are writers. Good writers. And when they commit those gifts, God-given gifts to the Lord, they never fade at all. They keep on going from glory to glory. Amen? It can even be fashion or anything. You just commit it. There was even this lady who is, I think, considered, at least at some stage, considered the greatest woman footballer. She was a very, very powerful born-again woman. She said she started playing football. She fell in love with football. She's an American. And then at the peak, when she was about to break through, God told her, stop playing football. I want you to serve me. Then she said that the toughest decision in her life is, okay, I'm going to stop playing football. I'm going to serve you. How do you want me to serve you? Then he said, go and play football. So he just wanted to know that, are you ready to commit it to me? That talent, you have it. Are you ready to commit it to me? But now she says, I'm ready to quit football. He says, no, actually, I do not want you to quit football. I want you to go there. But now, you've committed that talent to me. And she, I don't know, I've forgotten her name, but she went on to win all these awards and so on. Anyway, so my point is, I just gave that example to show you that we are not talking about preachers here, because not everybody is a preacher. Glory to God. And now, go to verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 14. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Now, here is the thing. You commit it to God, and then He commits it to you. Amen? Now, you commit everything, He will commit something so big to you. Something very, very big. For instance, Paul comes out. Now, imagine, this is somebody who caused a stir because he comes up and says that the circumcised and the uncircumcised are the same in Christ, and the Jews find that very, very infuriating. How do you compare us to Gentiles? But the trouble they have is the person who is saying it is a Jew, is a Pharisee. You understand? It's like a rich man coming and telling you your wealth means nothing. If a poor man says it, you say, of course, what would you say? But if now somebody whom you know is very rich comes and says, ah, wealth is nothing, then you say, what? Now he has your attention. Praise the Lord. Now you see, the first time I had Andrew Mark preaching grace message, and then he says, no, God is not interested at all in your works, in your performance and what. I said, this man, he must have some serious issues. Then, until you hear his life, he got saved very young. He has only been with one woman all his life. He has, like, in regard to what people would call the righteousness of the flesh, he is perfect. He says he has even never taken a cup of coffee. I don't even know how coffee is a sin. But you see, like, from the righteousness of the flesh, he is absolutely perfect. Not, you cannot find any single fault in him as a person. But then he's the one who tells you that all means nothing. It's all the cross. Then now you stand and listen. Now imagine Paul comes to the Jews and starts teaching them about this and saying that Christ is all and in all, and in Christ there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no woman, there is no man, there is no circumcised, no uncircumcised. We are all the same. And the Jews are saying, what? That's why actually they would follow him from city to city. If it was a Gentile saying that, nobody cares. Because of course that's what you would say. But now one of your own comes, and now he has gotten all his vitiwa and laid them down. And now, in exchange, God commits something very... And now this is one thing which I want you to understand here. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. He says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, I want you to see that there is nobody like Paul. Do you know, 3 times in the New Testament, he says, according to my gospel. Who says that? Nobody, none of the other apostles can say it. He even says that when you stand before Christ and he judges you according to my gospel. He says that in the scripture. Because he knows God committed this thing to his trust. Okay? So he's saying that in confidence. 3 times he mentions it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8. He says, remember that Christ Jesus of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Then, Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. 3 times, even earlier on Romans, I think chapter 4, he says, when you stand before Christ and he judges you according to my gospel. Praise the Lord. Now because he committed everything to Christ, Christ committed to him the work of the gospel and says he's committed to my trust. Now, give him everything, he gives you something so big. So that all this New Testament, the epistles, almost all of them, Paul. And he's talking very confidently. Paul, you know? And you see, there are very few people who have the confidence to even, you know, the T.L. Osborne, had the thing called the gospel according to T.L. Osborne. Because you see, for him, he didn't believe that son knew Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were supposed to tell you the gospel. Also, T.L. Osborne can do what? Yes. So we know the gospel according to Mark and according to Luke. But you're saying, now I'm going to show you the gospel according to T.L. Osborne. And now, He wasn't writing words. He just showed, and he showed on tape every miracle that Jesus did, including raising the dead. He showed you when he's doing it. And says that's the gospel according to Theosophos. Every single miracle, he will record it where it's recorded in the scripture, and he shows you where it happened in his ministry. And where you clearly see it, not a story, where it's clearly demonstrated. And it was a VHS tape. You know, remember those VHS tapes? Eh? The gospel according to T.L. Osborne. So at first I said, who does this guy think he is? But then, there are very few people, even how many preachers can tell you that follow me as I follow Christ, the way Paul did? Very few, because they don't have confidence in their walk with God. They are not confident enough in their walk with God to say, you forget Christ, follow me as I follow Christ. Because you know that's like, what the Lord does is he brings something close to you, nearer to you, which you can see and understand. You know, the other day I was talking with admin, and I told her that one thing which changed my perception, for instance, especially on money, completely, is something which I saw Prophet Elvis do. And I saw it, and I knew I could not unsee it. So either I was going to do it, or my heart was going to become hard. Because we were there, he was shifting house. So the people who were shifting came and told him that they needed over an extra 7 million shillings to put this and that and that. So he asked them, what are you going to use it for? So they told him, we are going to use it for ABC. Then he moved away from where we were seated and went and sat in his car. And he envisioned those things which in the house, the way they told him, we need to put a TV here, put a what. He envisioned them, and in 20 minutes, somebody came with $3,000. And he was still in the car, and somebody came and knocked. Excuse me, man of God, I have a seed. Can you imagine the guy who came to ask him for the money? He told him, first sit there, let me come. And now when I saw that, I knew I cannot unsee it. So then I knew that I either do it, or my heart is going to become what? Hey. You see, these things is... This is not extreme sports where they say don't try this at home. This one is for trying at home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah? So now when I say that I've decided what my 3-month blessing is going to be like, yeah? And I've been inspecting, I know what I saw. And I saw what I saw. Yeah? And I can use it and it will work. Praise the Lord. Because after that, I focused on that. I said I'm going to do this. You see, now that's the purpose of, if I read it in a book by some American, I would say, are those Americans? But I saw it there. Now, what if you see me doing it to you? What excuse do you have? You know, there are people who can see somebody move from one place to another and to another, and they don't say that, really, what excuse do I have not to move? When I know this person, we've been together. I know his limitations. I know what he can do and cannot do. How come this thing is working for you? Now, if you do not have that sense of commitment that I'm going to commit to doing this. Now, we're talking about committing. Eh? We are going to commit. I'm going to commit to doing this. It has to work for me. So now, after that, for almost 6 months, I was just meditating on money. Of course, it doesn't come like that. Eh? 20 minutes was a stretch. I even told him, but hey, ma'am, let me have taken like, now I'm not seeing anybody knocking on what? And then he told me, because I've been doing it for years, eh? So the time reduces. So, now if you see me doing that, and I get money, eh? What excuse would you have? Because you read all those books, Prosperity and what, you know, for powerful men, but somehow they seem at a distance. But God will bring for you somebody who is close, eh, to be the example, so that you have no excuse. He says, there is somebody. You just look him, look at him and watch. Okay? So now committed to my trust. Paul says the gospel is committed to my trust. Now the thing is, eh, there are some people here to whom nothing can be committed to your trust, because you do not have the ability to just take up something and do it. Amen? like zero ability to take up something and say this is committed to my trust. You know why Paul even says, when he says that some people preach the gospel out of bad motives, out of strife, supposing to add sorrow to my chains, and others preach it out of good motives. But he says, one way or the other, the gospel is preached. Praise the Lord. Now, when you take a cause and you actually, something has been committed to your trust, you don't care who gets the glory. For you, you are interested in getting something moving. Amen? So now some people thought that because Paul is imprisoned, then they come with the attitude. So he thinks he's the only one who can preach the gospel. And they think Paul is going to be angry. He says, no, 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 go ahead. It was committed to my trust. So I want everybody who can do anything to go ahead and do it. Praise the Lord. Now, that's how you know somebody. You know people are conscious about who takes the glory. Eh? And by that, you know some people say, no, the glory belongs to the Lord. You know what I mean. Okay, who takes the credit? Eh? But when something has really been committed to you, you don't care about who takes the credit. And let me tell you something. If you really, really want to be at the cutting edge of something serious, you have to get to a point where God can commit something to your trust and say, I trust you, now go and preach the gospel. That's your, go and preach it. And now there is nobody else. Now the problem is, some people want to preach and then we are many people, we are all what? No, God does not do that. He says, I've committed it to your trust. Praise the Lord. I'll give you an example of something very recent, which happened to me. And some people think it was very easy, but it was not. When the Lord committed to my trust the issue of fighting these vaccines, at first I was saying, but you know, I made the first press conference when everybody was waiting for the vaccine like they were waiting for the second coming. The media had scared all of them, COVID, COVID, COVID. Then I remember I called, even the media looked at me and they were saying, what's wrong with this guy? I told them when the vaccines come, don't take them. I told them what I knew. And I could see the guys looking at me, saying, this guy, what has gotten into him? Guess what? Now, the other day, Monitor called me and said, but how did you know these vaccines are fake? Because now, clearly people have seen people are dropping dead because of taking vaccines. And they were asking me, how did you know? But you see, if I had feared, because I came, I did it. I knew where we were going. I knew the purpose of COVID was to put some substance in people's body to change their DNAs. I knew the whole plan. It was part of what. I knew the whole thing. So, and I knew that was going to cause what it has caused. Do you know that the birth rates now in most of Western Europe have gone down by 20%? And in some cases, the death rates have gone up by 30%, especially among young people. So what does that mean? Population control. Do you know that now they are destroying all egg plants in America? How many people have seen that? Eh? Destroying all egg factories, whatever, hatcheries, whatever it is they are. They are burning 200 in 1 year. Accidental fires. Siu, 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 siu. And you think it's accidental? No, it's not. Then I was trying to find out why. What do they have against people eating eggs? Then I realized what, you know, it's a battle against people's immunity. Eh? Everything is to destroy your immunity. So they want hunger so that your immunity goes low. They want to put in new useless vaccines. Your immunity gets low. Everything is geared. Even all the COVID rules they put, stay home and stay safe. That was the easiest way of getting COVID. Some of you still use sanitizer. And you know, I knew that it was all fake. So I realized that all sanitizers are antibacterials, but somehow they are supposed to protect you from a virus. So you go and wash. Like it's all now, but I want to tell you this, that when I started, some of you remember, you ask admin, she's the one who organized the press conference at Serena. The guys looked at me like this. Security guys came and stood behind because that was their cash cow. Then they even came and started asking, want to see all the names of the journalists who were here, what? Because they wanted to scare everybody and said, do not do it. Then the next presidential address, the Chigai goes and mentions, there is this Kabuleta. Kabuleta who is trying to tell people not to get vaccinated. Kabuleta. There was a war going on there. You understand? But then I knew God had committed it to my trust. And I wasn't thinking that somebody else is going to do it. I knew either I do it, or it's not going to be done. Of course, God will find somebody else. But I would rather he doesn't. So I said, okay. I actually really, really thought about it. I said, what I'm saying is controversial. But now, the other day, I was in Imbarara. And we stopped. We were going somewhere. And we stopped at Ajip Motel to have a cup of tea. And a lady came and started telling me in Rujankore that, man, thank you very much for saving our children. They were going to die. Eh? You saved our children from death. What? Now? There was somebody I was with, who is here, who I was with. And out of the blue, somebody just comes who is serving you tea and says, eh, mwenu. Chewa kozere, what? Our children would be dead by now. But would you say, now? Some people would, did not listen. But you see, I told you, God called me in Ezekiel 33 and says, if you see something, go and warn the people. If they listen to you, you will save them. If they do not listen to you, their blood is on their hands. So I went and I committed to my trust. Now, when I see everybody, even now newspapers and everybody else, that was for me, Uganda here, everybody else jumping on the anti-vax wagon. You think I'm angry? I don't know. That shows that at least now we've gotten somewhere. Praise the Lord. Now, actually, it has taken off. They don't need me any longer. Eh? Now God is committing another thing to my trust. Now you see. And now I'll tell you this. The reality is that when you are in that position where now you are mature enough, God commits up. The way Paul says, the gospel was committed to my trust. And even says, according to my gospel, Christ will judge the living and the dead according to my gospel. That's how confident he is that God committed it to him. Glory to God. Now, the trouble is that there are so many people who cannot commit anything to their trust because they want to be a part of a group. They cannot stand alone. Praise the Lord. Can you really stand alone? Eh? Really? Going against the tide. There's a time I would even ask God and say, but man, is this thing going to mess me up? Then he told me that, don't worry. They will all come to where you are and you will be a star because you started it first. But I was scared. Don't think I wasn't. I was scared. You know, at the time, there was nobody. Everybody was wanting the vaccines. Africa needs vaccines, vaccines, vaccines. And I'm like, man, I'm the only one facing the other way like a Volkswagen engine. Huh? Facing in the opposite direction. Anyhow. Even this, whatever, Paul. That's why he says in the other scripture I showed you that I suffer for the gospel. Why? Because the Gentiles had accepted that Jews are superior. There used to be even converts from Gentiles to Judaism. They would say, do you receive Judaism now? Then you say yes. Then they circumcise you. They used to call them proselytes. Eh? You know, when some people have accepted that for us we are what? Inferior, but you cannot. Then Paul comes and says, no, I'm not a Gentile, a Jew, and a real Jew, thick, full credentials, comes and says, no, we are all the same in Christ. There is no Jew and no Gentile. Then they say, what? Now imagine, that's why the Jews would follow him from city to city, where he would go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would celebrate. That is, so we are the same as Jews. Yes, in Christ, we are all the same. Then the Jews come from the other city and come and stop these people. Then they beat him and put him in. Why? Just because of that. That was it. But you see, he committed to his trust. Glory to God. Now, then he tells Timothy that I am also committing it to your trust. Then he also tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:2, and these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Now, some people read, and these things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, teach these to faithful men. No, commit. Amen? Everybody wants to teach. Anybody can teach. It is the committing. Glory to God. Amen? When I was teaching end time in the early 2000s, I was teaching, but nothing was committed to my trust. Until the Lord told me that I want to use you to awaken the church to the reality of the soon return of Jesus Christ. Then the ghost end time message was committed to me in Uganda. Amen. Now, when I started, people started saying he's preaching fear, he's doing what? But nobody really was teaching the end time message that time really. Now he's teaching fear and so on. I remember they attacked me. I used to have that program on Spirit FM. There were Anglicans who were before me. They would come and spend 30 minutes preaching against me. Then there was another prophet who was after me. He would come and spend an hour preaching against what? Against me. Don't let these people scare you, that what? Until one day I went and said that if a woman is betrothed to a man and she's in love with that man, and the man has gone on a journey, and they tell her the man is about to come back and go and marry you, and she says that she's scared, it means she's not in love with him. Her heart shifted. She's now in love with somebody else called the world. How can I tell you Jesus is coming and you're scared? Like, how can you be scared? Like, are you kidding me? Isn't that him whom you believed? Do you think anything that you're going to get when he comes? You know, some people think you'll miss this world when you go to heaven. There's nothing here you're going to miss. There's absolutely nothing. Like, people don't, you don't have an idea. How? That's why I was telling somebody, some prophet in Nairobi. I was telling him, he was trying to pray for somebody who was, that pray for, raise somebody from the dead. I really forget it. I said, if you want to raise people from the dead, go to people who are not saved. Those ones come back. But there's nobody who is born again who dies. And you are there saying in the name of Jesus. They will tell Jesus, you leave me alone. I don't want to go back there. Immediately you go there, you realize, man, like they don't want to come back. It's just that simple. There is nothing here. So anyway, my point is, it was committed to my trust. Praise the Lord. And now, you know, we've moved whatever radio up country, how many radio stations? 9, 9 radio stations across the country. We are moving somewhere with end time, aren't we? But now when God is calling me to commit to something else, I will have to get some people to whom I commit the end time thing. And they are here. Amen? If they are ready, it is not teaching. Now, you know, there are certain people who first had end time from me, but right now, when I want to, anytime I ask them. In that area, they superseded me. They superseded me. You remember at the conference, I would be asking, okay, now, which scripture? Where is that scripture? Where is that scripture? I've forgotten them. But in 2014, they were all at my fingertips. Every single scripture. But now I've forgotten them. Now, like, it reminds me of Kenneth Hagin saying that the Lord told him, you stop teaching faith. That now some of the people you taught are even better than you. And that happens all the time. Then he even gave him examples. He said, now this guy, he learned it from you, but now he even teaches it better than you. And it happens all the time. So, now, then he told him, God moved to something else. Now, towards the end of his life, he was just telling stories of his walk with God. Man, the most uplifting things. Just listening, telling stories. In 1954, this happened. And it was a Saturday evening. What? I'm saying this, man, that's almost 40 years ago. How do you still remember all those details? Anyhow, my point is, so he says, the things which you heard from me among other witnesses, commit this to the faithful. Not teach, commit. Now this is your responsibility. Take it on from here. Glory to God. The trouble is, for instance, we are supposed to have university ministry. The things which we taught at the conference are actually supposed to, and somebody even came and told me, and they were in the spirit, that we are supposed to go and have that university thing. But if we start, people will get vigor because we have started. The minute we stop, they will stop because they are not ready to commit. When we started the end time, I was the only one. I was even very broke. I did not have a car. I would jump on the boda boda and go to Spirit FM to teach. But now I did not ask anybody for transport. Now, some people cannot say that now this has been committed to me. Now I'm going to handle this. And then they run away with it. If we had such people, I am telling you this year, you'd see how you go from glory to glory. Where you say, okay, leave this to me. Now, those who are willing, you get. There are those who will not be willing. When one person starts and moves, other people follow. People do not follow stationary people. There is nothing which is started with consensus. You know, people want to have meetings. We're having a meeting. This week we are going to MUMPS to teach. What is the meeting going to do? When you step out and go to teach, other people will follow. That's how the world operates, isn't it? They do not follow meetings. You agree something in a meeting, and then the next day you have another meeting. And then another one after that. Until somebody gets off the ground. Eh? I remember when I was reading a book of some of these guys, talking about how they went to fight a legitimately elected government. These terrorists who are now in power. So they say they sat at what? At Rukikaire's house and said, okay, we go. Hey, some people wanted people to discuss that now. What else? What here? What I was thinking? What? They said no. They finished. They jumped in a lorry behind, covered it with a tundubadi, and went and started. Those who wanted to join, join. Those who wanted to discuss did not join. Now the problem is, if somebody doesn't move, the people who don't want to discuss, they will never let you move, because for them they don't want to go. They want to discuss. But you see, me, I think we should do this and this. What? So they just said, okay, those who are willing to go, we go. The road is outside waiting. And people jumped in and went. Uganda wishes they had it. Anyway, that's... I had to add in that one, you know. You think you can separate me? Something else has been committed to my trust. Now this end time thing, I'm also committing it to somebody's what? Hey, and I'm going to something else, which has been committed to my trust. And I'm telling you that as long as I'm living, there will be other things. One thing after the next. And now when you go and actually do your thing, and you start a movement, like somebody here is going to pick this word and go and, you know, start our school's movement. And do not wait for anybody to come and do whatever. Just go and start. You'll see. It grows big and big. Then other people come in. Then people join in. Then the next thing you see, it's going on even without you. But on the day of judgment, all credit from the Lord goes to you, because you are the one who started. Without your starting, nothing of that would have happened. Praise the Lord. Now the thing is, what can become? Some of you, not even a company, even if somebody told your boss told you to do this, nothing can be committed to your trust. Praise the Lord. Now, we are living in a time when people are so selfish. There's a certain selfishness which I don't, and either so timidly, so cowardly. And of course I understand that, because sometimes God can lead you to go in a way which seems to be overwhelming. Now, where do I start from? How do I even start? How do I do this? Let me tell you, for me to do, you might think it's, for me to start that anti-vax thing, the Lord told me I first procrastinated, deliberately procrastinated, until I realized the money was being cut off from me. Suddenly, I was not getting money the way I was getting it. Then I said, man, let me just do it. Now, don't wait for that. If you feel the leading, just go and do it. Because there is a lot that you can do. If you actually just are the kind of person who, it has been committed to my trust. It is me. It's my responsibility. It's not going to be anybody's responsibility. If I do not do it, I'm not looking at other people. I'm not looking to get a quorum. I do not need that. I am going. Whoever wants will come and join me from there. And that's how everything of the like works. Praise the Lord. Now imagine. He says in Psalms 37 and verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You see, the reason so many times people do not know want anything to be committed to their trust is because they think God is looking at their abilities. He is not. He absolutely isn't. He can do everything on his own. Praise the Lord. I remember the first time when he, not on his own, he needs you, but my point is, there are people out there who will not come until you step out. I remember when he told me about the conference, the Watchman conference. So he told me, you're going to do a conference. And so I started preparing. And so I was wondering, how am I going to do this? I don't know anything about this. I was just in confusion. Then I announced one day that everybody on the radio, everybody who wants to help us to do the conference, we have a meeting at Open House there on Buganda Road. Come and see how we can organize to have this conference. I arrived there expecting to find like 3 or 4 or 5 people. I found 30 people. Remember, I had never encountered anybody. The only ministry I was doing was preaching on radio. And on radio, you don't even know if anybody is listening to you. But you walk by faith, not by what? Not by sight. So I would go. Actually, it took me almost 6 months to even know people would listen to me, because the people of the radio station told me that they did a survey to find out which is the most popular program, and they told them Watchman was either number one or number two. So I said, hey, so people be listening, because I would just go with my, sometimes with my notes, sometimes just things in my head, and I start blabbering. So I talk for 1 hour, finishes, I move out, wave down a boda-boda and go home. 6 months. Now, after that, for the first time I call people, we are going to have a conference, everybody come who wants to help. And I come and I find 30 people. And they say, when is the conference, what? And now they are all ready to go. So I give them dates, I give them what? And then they start moving. And then I realize all God needed from me was to call people. He has his people there who are going to do the thing. Praise the Lord. What do you think I did with the conference, apart from believing God? Nothing. Somebody goes and gets the humor, the other and gets what, the other and books this, the other and that. Everything is done, and then you just come and preach. And then you realize that everything, God has his people. But if he has chosen you to be the leader, you step out, the people will come. You don't step out, they will not come. And we are living in the last days. We do not have time to waste. Now, the thing is, like this school's ministry, I feel it very strongly, but I cannot do it and then do this and then do politics. I can't. I have to commit it to somebody's trust. The trouble is somebody, you look at somebody and know this is the person to whose trust I should commit it. But you see this, they are not confident enough to stand on their own. But at some stage, you have to become confident to stand on your own. Otherwise, you remain a baby all your life. Amen? Even like there are people whom I know. I remember when I was in work, people would say, this job, what? The salary does not increase in 5 years. There will be your salary will be half because the purchasing power will have gone down. You've had those arguments. But the people who are making them are staying put. Now I go there and you still find them there. Old men. Do you know what it means for somebody my age to be kusakaying maudi? Like it's a disgrace, man. Like at my age, you should have moved on to something. But you see, people were scared to stand out. You know that, because I looked and I said, no, I can't continue in this thing all my life. So I said, I have to look for a way out. There's a guy whom I know. We kept on talking with him. I left. We kept on talking with him. He said, man, so me, I think I'm about to leave. He stayed there until he even got sick. And you see, those companies, they are ruthless. Because when you get old, your insurance becomes very high. You're doing a job which somebody who is 24 can do. His insurance is very low. He doesn't get sick at all. For you have all virwadirwadi. And then they will tell you that what? Insurance for 4 of your children. This guy here is not going to have a child in the next 10 years. Guess what the company will do? They will fire you and replace you with this young guy. It's better for their bottom line. But because you're scared to step out. Amen? You're scared to step out. That's what happened to Jacob. Jacob, after working so much for Laban, it says in Genesis, as soon as Joseph was born, now you know there are people who are unique. It says it came to pass as soon as Joseph was born that Jacob went and told Laban, I am tired of working for wages. Tell me, what are we going to How are we going to separate these animals? And that was the beginning of Jacob prospering. Because you see some people... And I was talking this to somebody else. You know what Joseph said? He says, it's time for me to go and bless my household. Because he realized Laban's household was being blessed because of him. But for him, his wages were the same. And even they would keep on reducing them. That's how capitalists work. They keep on reducing them. So he said, it is time for me to go. You get that scripture in Genesis. It came to pass as after Joseph was, and came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go in my own place to my own country. Go ahead. Next verse. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. Go to the next verse. Laban said to him, please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Now imagine, your blessing is helping somebody else. And of course, he doesn't want you to go. But if that blessing stops you, he will be the first person to kick you out. So he says, the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Go ahead. Then he said, name me your wages, and I will give it. Next verse. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you, and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now when shall I also provide for my own house? That's what I wanted. When shall I use my blessing for myself? Glory to God. Now if you be somewhere and you overstay there, of course I'm not saying you go leave, but you overstay there, then you come, you give, you have a blessing, but somebody else is, you know, receiving from your blessing. Praise the Lord. And then at some stage you say, when am I going to bless my own house? Now it's time to use my blessings for me. Glory to God. Now, the trouble is people are scared, scared of stepping out, scared of starting something, scared of being different, scared of being the only ones. You say, this has been committed to my trust. And it is my thing. Imagine Paul, the whole gospel committed to my trust. He says, which God has committed to my trust. And then he tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:20, guard that which was committed to you. And he kept on telling him, guard that which was committed to you. Guard what was committed to you. Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Now, Paul is going to die. Then he's saying, I'm committing this to your trust. Do you know, little he said of Timothy, but he was a very monumental person historically in furthering the gospel after the death of the Apostle Paul. So he says that I'm giving you this thing now. Guard what I'm committing to you. It was committed to me, now I'm committing it to you as I go away to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you there sitting very well, sitting pretty. Eh? What can we commit to your trust? Eh? Or are you just going to come here and put on ties? What? You know what your ministry is? Dorothy, you first come. There's something which is God has committed to your trust. Eh? And you know it. How far with what God committed to your trust? Huh? No, speak loud on the microphone. Why are you coming to whisper? Speak loudly, because she has a powerful children's ministry. Eh? You give her the microphone, let her hold it. Uh-huh. How far with what God has committed to your trust? Okay, you're operating at half mast. You can go and sit down. You're flying at half what? Half mast. But at least you have stepped out. Some people haven't stepped out. Thomas. Some people haven't stepped out, by the way. At least Fuasha has stepped out and is doing something. Praise the Lord. There are so many people here who I'm seeing who are, the flag is on the ground. It's not even quartermast. And God has something, like something which he really, really is committing to your trust. You understand? It means it is you. This is my thing. It is you or nobody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know if I should. Our magazine failed because there is nobody to commit to it, trust. Clear. Our magazine failed because we couldn't trust anybody. No, it's okay, you can stay there. There is nobody who was ready to take it on. And it was there. By the way, there was big demand for it. Wasn't there? The Lord told you at some stage to buy magazines and give to people in Guru. What was the reception? Speak on the mic. Yeah. Wonderful. But now the magazine closed. Not for lack of material, not for lack of money to print, but for lack of somebody who could take it up in their trust. Praise the Lord. And there are writers here. Writers, we can pull it off. Because there is a lot of material. Those magazines in schools, where is the Frank? What was the reception of the magazines in schools? Now, there are some people here who are asking God for wonderful, wonderful things. And the reality is that there is an instruction which if you did, everything will open up for you. Amen? You have to know that and listen to this. Every promotion from God comes with an instruction. Every promotion comes with a what? With an instruction. And I've told you that before. I've told you after that conference, which I did, after that I got a promotion financially. I don't know what happened. Suddenly, I used to receive money in hundreds of thousands. Suddenly, they became tens of millions. Just like that. And sometimes even from the same people. You see, people think that's where you learn that actually, it's only God who can touch people to bless you. Eh? You try one day asking Akena here for 20K. You'll see. You give you a story. I'm giving an example. I'm just joking. But the day the Lord touches him, you'll bring 20 million. But you try to touch him yourself. You realize he's untouchable. So that's when I realized that these things, it is now. Then afterwards, another instruction. Then another promotion. Now, some of you are sitting on instructions. Praise the Lord. Not even Mr. Otuama here. Half mast. You know that. By the way, I have some serious bone of contention with you. Because half mast. And yet nobody has died. Yet. The others whom I will not mention because I see they will become shy. Eh? But the others, whom I will not mention, praise the Lord. And now there are people who are in a position to actually do great things. Eh? But anyway, let me stop there. Because I do not want any. But I want people to understand that on the day of judgment, like these things, like God looks at the potential you have and how you're just sitting and doing nothing. And then you go and pray once. If you would just do one instruction, all the things you want would come. When I did the conference, I didn't ask for more money, but it came. And when it came, I wasn't angry. But I just obeyed the instruction, which was there, do this. Then after the conference, I enjoyed my kamani there a bit. Then he gave me another instruction. Now you have to start meeting people every week. I started. Then more money came. Just like that. Praise the Lord. Just like what? Now, can you imagine before that, I would just go and preach on radio and then go home. And then I had that car office there in Rwenzori Towers. And then I would just go in the morning and sit and start writing my things. I used to interpret people's dreams. I told people, send me dreams by email, I'm going to interpret them. So I would get to office and I have like 60 emails of dreams. And then when I would start interpreting the first and the second, I would get into a completely prophetic place where I would start interpreting without even reading the dream. Because I got into the groove, I would just read the first thing. Then I say, your dream is about this. I haven't even read it. Then I would finish doing that. Then it would be like it switches off and I come back to normal. Now, when I would go and sit on my laptop. But then, when I would be there interpreting dreams, people would come and interrupt me. Man of God, I brought 30 million. I say, hey, okay, I'm put it there, I'm busy interpreting. Instruction, you people. Committed. By the way, I took that end time instruction very, very seriously. You have no idea. Committed to my trust. And I know I have some marks on that day when I stand before the Lord for that. I took that instruction seriously, as well as I'm taking other instructions seriously. Praise the Lord. Now, some people think I should be scared, but man, I have an instruction. Amen? And people will never understand. You man, we hear, aren't you scared? What? I have an instruction. Glory to God. Now for you, you're just scared of losing, living a kasara. Me, the things which I could, if I chose to be. Can you imagine the other day I went to Nairobi to pray. I know that to realize that, man, this is not an easy life, man. Then you realize that the guy who is in the room next to you is sent from these guys here to see whom you're meeting and what. Like, so I stepped out of the room and somebody said, hey, Joseph, how are you? And they are even stupid. Like, nobody knows me there. They say, hey, Joseph, how are you? I look like Joseph. How did this guy know me? Then I realized he was in the same flight. So as long as you even book a ticket, other guys will book to fly with you. So there's a price to pay, you understand, which is more than just losing a kasara. But I'm on an instruction. And I'm going to do it. Glory to God. The reason I'm telling you this is to spur you and to stir you up. To don't be just the people who are going to just sit there and say, I want a house. How easy is it for God to give you a house? But there's something eternal. There are people he's depending on you to reach. Step out and do what you're supposed to do. And, everything you want is so easy for him like this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of you even need to commit your finances to the Lord. I didn't want to say that. But just committing your finances to, and they will never run out. You go from glory to glory. Just commit them. Commit them to the Lord. I tell you this as I end. The day I learned the principle of stewardship, that there is nothing that comes to me that belongs to me, that's the day I started growing financially. Nothing that comes to me belongs to me. I'm just a steward. Amen? So I would get money, and the first thing I ask, Lord, how much of this is mine, if any? Or what would you want me to do with this? And sometimes it is yours. The instructions vary. Sometimes give half, sometimes give all, sometimes give just a tithe, and so on and so forth. Amen? But let me tell you what I heard somebody say, and I believe it. If God can get money through you, he will get money to you. And he is too good. If he wants to use you to give somebody 20 million, he will give you 80. So that the 60 is yours. That's how he is. The trouble is, if he gives you 80, you don't even give the 20. Amen? And he says that person there needs 20 million. Go and give it to them. But you think he will ever give you 20 million? He will never. That's not the God he is. He's El Shaddai, a God of more than enough. He will always give you more than what you need. That is always how he is. I'm telling you, anything. That's why he says, have extra at the end of it. He sends you to do something. At the end of it, after you've done everything, you have extra. Now that extra is for you to go and what? Yeah, lavish it on yourself. And some of you had to teach you how to lavish things on yourself. You are so used to being broke that even when God blesses you, you don't want to feel nice. And yet he actually wants you to enjoy it. Anyway, praise the Lord. So, you are going to commit that which he committed to you, which I committed. He said, I'm persuaded that he'll hold it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, when I committed even my finances to him, you think they are going anywhere? They cannot. And of course, there are people I know who would want them to go somewhere. Where? Why do you think they had those people meet? They thought I was going to meet some mugaga in Nairobi to give me money. Mine comes from there like that. I'd gone to pray. I even had they left the room. But the guy was there. But anyway, they enjoy life, those guys. Because they stay in 5-star hotels. The only thing is, he was in economy and I was what? But on the same flight. But they enjoy life. And they just following somebody around, following you. So there is a price to pay in all this. But an instruction is an instruction, and nothing can stop me. Nothing can stop me from doing the instruction of the Lord. Okay? Something has been committed to my trust. Praise the Lord. Just pray in tongues and tell yourself what has been committed to your trust. What you are supposed to do. Now the grace for moving house is here. Some people have already moved. How many people have moved in the last 1 month? First sit down. How many people have moved the last 1 month? Stand. The percentage is still small. Okay, now you sit down. Now those who are planning to move, okay, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because God gives you a place of comfort in the name of Jesus and gives you the ability in Jesus' name. Now do not think small. Just go to a place which gives you comfort and makes you happy. Praise the Lord. Amen. I receive it. Say, I receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 2952555 or +256 752 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.